and I would like to play a little tune I just composed not so long ago.
Miss Billie Holiday.
The music called jazz.
Stomp.
Give me a beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce.
Woo. Yeah. DJ.
Baby Monster.
Scratching and give me a beat.
Every third Monday of the month on Radio Laura. Good evening, Zurich. DJ Baby Monster here. And like every third Monday of the month, I am bringing you the music of my choice. It's Give Me a Beat, of course, Radio Laura, 97.5 megahertz, or you can listen to us via web, www.laura.ch, and then you can click on a little link that is showing a web radio and listen to me right now. Tonight, I have a very special show prepared. I mean, usually the Christmas show or the last show of the year is the one that I call Christmas, is for one or another reason special. Either I have a special guest or I'm covering something that is important to me or I have a giveaway. I mean, Christmas is a time of the year that I really love. And this is usually reflected through my show. Now, this year, it's very special. I mean, Christmas is not exactly the same. And keeping up the good spirit is something that we are trying to do while sitting in our homes most of the times and being very careful when leaving or when moving around or when traveling. So even tonight's show, it's my special at-home edition. I'm not able to go to the radio. This is something we decided a while ago. So all of my shows basically in 2020 are done from home. But tonight's show is special to me for some additional reasons. Usually when I'm preparing for a Christmas show, I try to somehow through it reflect the year that we had. Because I think it's a great time of the year to actually slow down, think about the year that you had, and think about the year that you will have, so the next year. But this year was something out of ordinary. And I have to say, in my life, I had experiences where I had some crazy years, and not in a good way, but the kind of years where there's so much chaos around you that you somehow had to stop and think about your life or what you can do or just how you can spin it positively. And this year was that kind of a year, not just for me, but for most of the people. So when I was thinking how to make the Christmas show special, I decided to go back to my roots and reach out to one artist that I was checking out, especially during this year, and that I just really thought would be a perfect to interview for my Christmas show. The artist that I'm talking about is Tijana T. She's a DJ from Serbia, from Belgrade. And even before knowing her, I knew that we share lots of history because she grew up around the same time as me, even though she's a bit younger. And I also could feel a certain vibe and creativity from her music that could show me that some influences that were affecting me and my music taste are very similar to hers. So I was very happy when Tijana agreed to have an interview with me. I mean, Tijana is really a kick-ass DJ. She's really outstanding. And she's also the first Serbian artist that I ever interviewed. And, you know, I have my show since 14 years. And this is almost unbelievable. So this is super exciting for me. On the other hand, by getting to know her through interview, I can also tell you that now I'm even more excited that I have her in the show because I think she's just awesome. And so here we are tonight. I am actually going to play the interview that I did with Tiana 2 weeks ago. As usual, 5 songs from a female artist from her choice. Some of her mixes, I actually selected the part of the mix from the gig that she did in a club called Dim in Belgrade in February this year. And also at the end, I will have a bit of a surprise and play even longer mix. So that being said, another reason for this show being special is that it's going to be a longer one. I think tonight my show will be about 3.5 hours, and hopefully I will be allowed to play it because I still need to discuss with the production if this is okay. But if it happens that I'm not, you will definitely receive the full version in my podcast and only 2 hours, regular 2 hours from my show. So what happened 2 weeks ago when I sat down with Tiana? I sat down for maybe 20 to 30 minutes interview, as I usually do. But then we start talking and, you know, Tiana starts sharing so many great stories and experiences from her life related to her professional life and private life that we ended up sitting for 1.5 hour. So this is one of the reasons why my show is longer. But another one is also because I had so much great music from her that I just had to play much more than I usually do. So without further ado, and in order to be able to do all of this tonight, I'm going to start immediately. First, I'm going to play the song, one of the first songs of her choice. I actually love all the female artists that she chose for tonight's show. And the first one is actually the song called Stakleno Nebo. This is in Serbian. In translation, it's Sky from the Glass. The band is Video Sex. This was Slovenian synthpop band founded in 1983. And the singer was very famous, Anja Rupel. She was quite impressive. And I love them also back in the day. The song is from their album Lacrime Christi. And from 1984. So this is really the original synthpop from Yugoslavia. And since I will start talking to Tiana first about her beginnings going out and the club scene back in the 80s and 90s, when she was about the age of 13, it does make sense that we start with this, just to give you the taste, what kind of music we were listening at that time. So let's begin. Video Sex and Stakleno Nebo, and then the interview with Tiana.
Hi, it's Tiana T, and you're listening to Gimme a Beat.
Hi, Tiana. Thank you very much for agreeing to have an interview with me. I'm very excited about this, not just because you're an excellent DJ, which you are, but also because of our background, because you are coming from Serbia and me being Serbian, it's very rare to interview Serbian artists. As a matter of fact, I don't think I ever did until now. So you're my first one from that perspective. I think it's very interesting to connect with you at these times and just to introduce you a bit better to the Zurich audience or whomever is listening to my radio show online. So I want to start from the beginning. If you can tell me a bit about your beginnings and how did you become an artist, a DJ that you are today?
Hi, Elena. Thanks for inviting me. I think I've never done an interview for any Swiss media, although I did play around Switzerland. So yeah, I'm happy. And I'm happy that you do have this specific perspective that is slightly or quite different from the perspective of someone who comes from, I wouldn't say Western Europe, but let's say not from the Balkans.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I've been into music for my whole life. That's a usual answer that musicians do give. I loved music and I was very influenced by my uncle, who was a huge music enthusiast and a record collector. And for whatever reason, it was actually possible in Serbia around that time to start going out and to start attending concerts at a very young age. So I was already quite active in the nightlife, let's say from the age of 13 and 14. If I think about it now, at this age and this day and age, it sounds a bit scandalous because for me, like 13-year-olds are small kids. But I somehow behaved as a grown-up and it wasn't that unusual. I knew already quite a number of people who are my age who would go out and participate in the music life.
And those were the 90s, right?
Yeah, so these were the 90s in Serbia. I was a teenager and in general, 90s in Serbia were quite bleak. So Yugoslavia is a country that broke up at the end of the 80s or beginning 90s, and then a series of wars started around this ex-Yugoslavian territory. Serbia kind of didn't have a war in its territory, but did participate in the war in all other republics. So it was like we didn't, in these times, in like early and mid-90s, we couldn't really see, you know, the guns and bombs in the streets, but the country was highly affected by war. And everything just fell apart. I mean, the whole infrastructure collapsed, all the institutions collapsed, the economy collapsed. I think Yugoslavia or Serbia at that time, it's the second highest inflation rate in the history of the world. So I think for many listeners who haven't experienced this, it would be impossible to imagine such an environment where literally everything you know is collapsing around you. But somehow this urban life and this, especially like the music world, managed to thrive in the even under these circumstances. And we had a very vivid music scene here in Belgrade. And there was a lot of going on. People were still following whatever was happening internationally, because in the 80s, Belgrade was the center of cool. You know, it was the home of many really, really cool bands and scenes, and it was highly regarded even internationally for its music scene. So I guess in the 90s, for a lot of people who were at this age, let's say they were in their 20s or maybe early 30s, just continuing to lead this kind of lifestyle was in a way an act of rebellion. They somehow didn't want to accept that the new reality, the grim reality, is what they have to agree on. So they just did what they could only do. They just continue to grow this culture as much as they could. And this is the environment in which I grew up.
And I know what you're talking about. I would even add an additional element because I'm slightly older than you. And I'm exactly those people. I think our club scene was amazing, especially club scene, but also in general music scene was any genre was great. But I think in some ways that kept us sane. Everything that was happening.
I think it did have this effect because, you know, the everyday reality, the daytime was really like a mental decision. You know, everything you see around was just not normal. It was really very, very bad. It was bad. It was sad. It was not normal. So people who decided to live at night, so the party people, they actually created a healthy environment. Even with all the substance abuse, still the basis on which this environment and this culture and this group of people was functioning, it was way healthier and way more normal. Absolutely. Than what you would see in everyday life.
I think it was the feeling of the community. There was such a connection between the people that were going out. People cared about each other and everything just made sense. Everywhere you went, you knew everybody and you felt like a family. It really felt like extended family somehow.
Yeah, because a lot of people, especially of your generation, but even like older and younger people, they did not agree on what was being done and what was happening politically in our name. So you would basically live in a reality that you don't agree on. It's imposed to you and you do not accept it. And then at night you would go to a party where you understand everyone around you. You accept these people. You want to belong there. And this is the world that you want to live in and the principles that you want to live by. So I guess, yeah, exactly. You're completely right. I mean, normally I tell this story because it's not the beginning of my musical career, but it is something that plays a big role in whatever happened later. So I was drawn into this world and it was really like, this world was something beyond just dancing and it was beyond just music. And I know that these events, they have a role in society, you know. And these kind of events and this kind of like gathering, this collective experience is something that did not start with raving. It did not start with music events. It's something that's, I mean, it's as old as history, you know, even like
absolutely.
People like in the tribal times, they would gather around the fire and dance to the same music, which was hypnotic. It was rhythmical. It was repetitive, which can very easily translate it into what you get at techno parties.
You know? Absolutely.
And first of all, this experience is, it's like a collective body experience. This is something that you cannot have just anywhere. And it's also very important mentally that you overcome your ego and you understand that there is such thing as a collective body, that all of you can become one body, like 1,000 people or 2,000 people. The other thing is, like, mostly at these parties, the music that's being played is something that does not have lyrics, or the lyrics are secondary. So it's beyond this, like, let's say Christian perspective of preaching, which you have in, let's say, rock music, where you have a singer who's singing and he has his own lyrics, he has his own ideas, and he's suggesting by his lyrics what the emotion of the music is. Whereas at raves or, you know, with electronic music, it's all the other musical elements that actually leave a lot of space to personal interpretation. Of course, I mean, certain dynamics and harmonies and the way the music is composed and put together and the way that the DJ is translating it into a wider perspective of his or her mix can imply certain emotions, obviously. But yes. I think it's a very unique experience to have this, like, as I said, like a collective body experience that actually leaves a lot of space for personal interpretation. These are all the elements that create this experience. And this is something that I lived at a very early age, and I actually got addicted to it. And it did help me save my life.
Very good. So we have you here now.
Yeah, I mean, also my family was very affected with everything that was happening in the 90s. You know, it's just one of the many stories that we had during this period in these countries. You would have like a normal family, middle-class family that's completely ruined by whatever was happening politically. So I had a lot of personal issues and collective issues, and really like going out and meeting like-minded people helped me. And also like these parties and like music events were places where you would get like very intellectual crowds, like people that I would
absolutely
meet.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Were mostly like really, really smart and very inspiring. And that was my basis in life. And this is like the criteria that I developed, which after a few decades I learned is a very high criteria, actually.
Yes.
So in a way, we got spoiled by it.
The it's a very high bar to actually
very
achieve.
High bar, yes. That, you know, for us, parties were not a commodity. It's not just something that you do from whatever, like, vain reasons, or you need to get totally wasted, or it's something that's given to you because there's a market for it. It was a completely different context that has a bigger and more valuable meaning. That's the bar that I set. And also like the musical bar, I think the DJs, and I have this opinion and attitude today as well. I think people who DJ in Belgrade or Serbia are just so beyond everyone else I've ever heard anywhere else.
Yes.
So yeah, these are the standards. These are like my very high standards.